Still? There we go. Anyway, quite a song. I snuck up and I thought they were done. And they did another chorus. But they could do another chorus. That's good stuff, wouldn't it? Kind of reminded me of being at camp meeting. That sounded like an old camp meeting choir. It did, didn't it? Good camp meeting choir. I didn't mean, you know. But that's what it sounded like. We'd been talking about different camp meetings and stuff, and then they have that. So we may be ready this morning. A lot of things been happening around the world. We've seen good and bad, but we've also seen revival breaking out different places. We are hoping that, it'll break out here. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Just have a revival break out right here, and the Holy Ghost come in, and people start getting saved, and lives getting changed. Wouldn't that be wonderful? People getting baptized in the name of the Lord. That sounds pretty inviting to me. That sounds like good stuff. Well, we got some things happening this week for you. Prayer meeting, of course, on Wednesday. And then the women have their Bible study Wednesday night. And that good group of women got together. I think it was 20-some, wasn't there? 19. Okay. I know we set up for 20-some. So 19 showed up, and that's wonderful that they had their women's get-together there, their Bible study together. They're going to be needing volunteers this week. You know, the couple of the ladies, my wife and Heather Poland's back there, they have this thing of crop and craft. You got to see it to believe it. You do. They fill this room up with ladies making scrapbooks and things. But before that can happen, they need some volunteers that come in and we tear down the chairs and set up the tables. And it's if you ever seen one of those movies where they have the fellas rowing the boat and the person with the whip going stroke, stroke, stroke. Well, that's kind of what it's like. You got Heather back there, table here, table there, table there, and the rest of us just moving the best we can, trying to get it done for her. But anyway, it's a good time. We have fun together in fellowship. But the women do that, and they all get together then and have it. And if you want to be a part of something that as a volunteer, talk to Heather, my wife. Or if you want to, I don't know if you got any more tables to sell or not. If you want to come and craft, yeah, you can do that too. Another thing I wanted to, I was asked this morning to announce we need Easter candy. Is it April 1st you said the Easter egg hunt was? April 1st, we'll have our annual Easter egg hunt here for children up from pre-K to 5 years, or grade five is what I'm trying to say. And they'll be giving them different things, wrapped candy. We want individually wrapped candies, not like suckers and stuff, because those are hard to put in eggs, okay? So it's got to be without the stick. So that sort of thing, so they can be hidden in the eggs for the children on the Easter egg hunt. So if you'll start bringing that stuff in, that'll be wonderful. At the end of the month, we're going to have a potluck. And if you see the bulletin board, you want to sign up for that. We all like potlucks. The menu will be for what you're going to bring is by alphabet. A to something is something, A to something. So look there, sign up for it, see where your name falls. And if you say if you fall in the first group, I don't know what it is, but let's say it's entrees or meats or whatever. The other one might be your potatoes and stuff like that. But the last one's going to be desserts. But I'm going to tell you what: if you say, "Well, I make an awful good dessert, and I'd really like to make it," you make a dessert too, okay? if you didn't fall into that dessert category. But you really feel that your dessert is one that everybody ought to try. And if it's really good pecan pie, you make sure you bring that. Okay? We won't fault you for that. We'll just say thank you. Anyway, that'll be the end of the month. We'll have a good time. That'll be after church on the end of the month. I hope I've got everything I was supposed to. But, you know, we had I'm sorry. Your wife's going to talk about that. We had Kathleen Woollett's funeral here yesterday. We all remember dear Kathleen. She sat there in her chair, and so that was. And others have had people who passed in the. Kathy lost her. We buried her aunt and Larry, his grandson, and I heard Jesse. He shared with me today. He had a grandson that he had to bury this year, or they cremated him. But this last couple of weeks, a lot of death. And I remember, I think it was Billy Graham one time says, "You're not prepared to live until you're prepared to die." You know, each one of us is going to face that day. You might be 95 years old if Lord blesses it that long. It might be 24 like some. But each one of us will face that day. We're not prepared to live and then until we're prepared to die. But if we're prepared to die, we're prepared to live eternally. And that's the wonderful thing. Amen. Amen. Prepared to live eternally with our Lord in heaven. And that's just... So that's more than we can ever imagine. That's the songs and more than we imagined. And it's thankful for the blood of Jesus that washed away our sins and gives us a hope of eternity if we'll accept. But we got to accept him. And we've got to accept him. We got to believe it. We got to accept it in our heart and confess it with our mouth that he is Lord, that we could be saved. Bless your hearts. I'm going to turn this over here a second. I got...
Thank you. So just a quick two things that are happening. One, just start putting it in your minds for April 23rd. That's going to be a kids club fun day. April 23rd is a Sunday, and we'd love for you to invite your families, the kids. So kids are going to come, and we'll have a craft for Mother's Day, and we'll have some other fun games and just activities. So start thinking ahead about April 23rd. The second thing is many of you received an email about bowling, and lots of questions. When are we going? I don't know. How many are going? I don't know. But I know that we've got a great interest because many of you guys responded. So I would like, if you wouldn't mind, just a really quick meeting out just when we're finished. We can meet out here in the foyer. Or even the fellowship, I don't care. We'll just meet someplace, find me, I'll look for you, and we'll just have a quick meeting and find out who wants to go bowling. I think it's going to be probably in March, but I also think there's such a big interest, we might be looking at two or three more times. We'll see, because we've got some of our snowbirds saying, wait for me, and we might want to do one sooner and then have one later, too. So bowling meeting afterwards, and we'll discuss the time, the place, the money, the what, the all those things, and we'll decide as a group. So please remember that. Thank you.
Well, we can certainly see that Life in Christ is an active church. We've got lots of things going on. My time today is with the Missions Moment, and I stand up here representing the missions team. We have five members, and... just to give you some information every month about what we're doing. And this past month, we spent some time gathering things together. All of you helped us bringing things in and then actually packing the things up into gallon bags. And we were able to send quite a lot of things to Philippians 2, which is a group on the west side that it's a small family group that share with the homeless. They go out and share meals with them in the camps, and they also give the word of God to them as well. But this time we were able to provide them with clothing, blankets, shoes, just the kind of things that you think that people would need when they're out in the all kinds of weather. And then we also collected health items, hygiene items, and last year I was able to count things because we moved at a slower pace. This year we had 7 volunteers who came and helped bag everything, and we knew what we were doing, so we had those gallon bags bagged up within 45 minutes. And they all fit in the back of Roxanne Sullivan's car, which is huge, and I took a picture if anybody ever wants to see what it looked like. But when we delivered them on 2 different occasions, the clothing and the other items, Mike, who heads up this group of people, he stopped as he was helping me carry things in to store them for a short while. He said to be sure and tell each of you how much they would be appreciated. So I had a little bit of time, and I talked to him more to try and find out more information just about what is not only needed, but also who it is that we're serving. And I found out there are about 20 women in these different camps. Right now there aren't any children, and he's very thankful about that. And there are children in these camps, but not in the camps that he provides for. So I'm going to guess that we had somewhere between 40 and 50 gallon bags that we were able to provide for them, as well as, and I want to thank you all for that. And I also want to encourage you, before I leave this morning, as I was getting ready and thinking about what I was going to say, why do they call themselves Philippians 2? I encourage you to get your Bibles out and to read Philippians 2. I'm going to tell you just a couple of little things that Paul says to the people as he's instructing them. He's instructing the pastors and the deacons and the Christians that are in Philippi, and he's telling them, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too, and in what they are doing. So I certainly think that you exemplify this, and you do all the time, in your finances that you share with others, and the things that you bring in to share with others, and your prayers for others. So continue to pray. Pray especially for someone named Steve. He is homeless, and just all those that are in need of knowing the Lord.
It's your turn. Let's stand up and sing, shall we? Another camp song, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you. that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Thank you. May be seated as we continue.
Kind of nice to just sit quietly for a minute after that, isn't it? Just to think about the words we just sang and what it means and how good God is. And he does give us kind of a peace with all the things happening in the world. Life is just rolling along quickly, and you get a chance to just sit back and be quiet for a second and not worry about what's going to happen next and what's going to come up next and all those kind of things. But anybody have any praises they'd like to share this morning? Linda?
Good morning, church.
Our God is so good. That's all I have to say. He is the greatest ever. I am speaking on behalf of Carol Watson. She came through both of her surgeries very well. She's pretty beat up and bruised, but she can breathe. She can actually walk and breathe, and she wanted me to tell everyone at church how happy and loved she feels from all the prayers, and she looks forward to being here with us again very soon. So thank you all.
Well, once again, friend is in that special living quarters. They had to take her from there to Riverside Hospital, where they had to give her 3 pints of blood. She's bleeding inside somewhere. They can't find it. So I pray for her. Ask your prayers for her. She's really in need right now. She's in a state that she don't understand why she's there. So if you have time, send her a card, give her a call. She would appreciate that. Thank you.
I'd just like to thank everybody for all your cards and your thoughts and prayers while I've been absent. I can tell you that it's been working. My life is changing. Amen. Thank you.
I'm just grateful to see faces that I haven't seen for a while. Donna and Dee and Jill and her family. Part of it was because I wasn't here for a long time. I was very sick, but I know some of you haven't been here for a while either, so it's great to see everybody.
Amen. It's actually been a year since I have been here, so I am overjoyed. I've prepared for this since Monday when I told the pastor I was coming, so I praise God for every second I'm in here. Thank you.
So Dan is just old. He apparently doesn't have a tear in his knee. He just made me feel sorry for him for a month. It's bursitis, which is a praise that he does not have to have knee surgery. And I spent 5 days in Texas with my mom. If you can continue to pray, when they did the back surgery, they hit a nerve, they think, and they've numbed her right foot. So she's trying to deal with learning how to walk without feeling that foot. But her attitude is actually way better than I anticipated, and we had a great visit.
You want to say something about her?
No. Jesus is good, that's all I have to say.
Hi, I guess I should stand up. I'm just asking for prayer I got my MRI done on my knee. And unlike Dan, I want surgery. So, because it's been since January that I've been going through this, and my range of motion is better, everything's better. It just aches, and I don't know if it's been healing all this time and healing wrong. So I'm praying for surgery for myself. And also, I just want to ask for prayer for my son. A lot of you know my son is schizophrenic and bipolar. And it's just amazing how God works, because his dad contacted me last Thursday and he said, "Have you heard from Jed?" And that's what his dad calls him. And I said, "Yeah, I talked to him a couple days ago because I remember telling him about Daytona and how excited I was for NASCAR." So I went out to get something at the store, and I just had a mother's intuition, and I went over there and I found him. I mean, when I first went in, I thought he was dead. I thought he was killing himself. He let out such a big squeal, like, I thought, "Daniel, what's wrong?" And he came out of the bedroom, and all he could say is, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know." So we took him into the hospital that night, and he actually talked to his wife last night. He called the house. And I probably made her mad. And he seemed pretty lucid, like they were getting him on the right combination of medicine. So, and that was my granddaughter. I probably upset her talking about her dad, but just keep us in prayer. Thank you.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Lord, you know all these needs and concerns and requests, and we also give you the praise for all things you've been doing in people's lives and the changes that you've been making. Lord, we just pray you be with the families of those who have lost loved ones this last week or so, and that you would just give them a peace and direction, knowing that if they've accepted Christ, that they're in heaven, they're waiting for them to have a glorious reunion. Lord, be with those who are struggling today physically, with knee problems and back problems and neck problems and all the different issues that we have in our physical bodies. Lord, I pray you'd be with them and just touch them, help them to get the help that they need. Thanks for the healing that you're already providing for those who are seeing good results. Father, give us strength to come out spiritually ahead. Lord, know that those are depressed and there's people thinking that God's not there, but we know that you're there, Lord, that sometimes we walk away, but you never walk away. You're waiting for us just to turn back to you and acknowledge that you're there. So, Lord, we thank you for the revivals that have been happening. Thank you for those things that have been going on. We thank you for the time we had last week. And I pray that continues, that we know that revival starts in and with us. So each of us can look inside and see where we need to go, what we need to do to make ourselves where you want us to be and the way we should be with you. So be with Fran today. Help her, Lord, as she's struggling with knowing where she's at and why she's there, but we know, Lord, that she's there to give her the best care that she can get, and just help Larry as well as he's trying to struggle on his own at home. Just give him strength there, and thanks for those who haven't been here for a while, Lord, that you brought them back to be with us this morning, and those who come regularly. We just give you the praise in your name. Amen.
One of the greatest comments that I read about the Asbury Revival came from a young person that was leaving Wilmore with his father, and they were talking about it, and he asked him, "Son, what do you think?" And he thought for a moment, and he said, as we went into the chapel, there were no flashing lights, there were no big bands or anything. It's all about Jesus. And I thought, there it is, right there. And one of the comments that was made in this this movie, Jesus Revolution, just came out, was just pretty good. You might want to see that. It young person was struggling about what to be doing in his life. And he said, if I could just see lightning or hear thunder, something. But then he said, she said to him, "Friend, you know, the truth comes quietly. It's the lies that are loud." And I think Elijah and others in the Bible that we read about found that out. God, come quietly. Come with his precious Holy Spirit and pour himself upon wherever place, whatever individual. And he's speaking to us today. Let's listen as we sing about our Savior and our God. He gave sight to a blind man, begging by the road. He gave food to the hungry. He fed them fish and loaves. He gave living water to a thirsty soul in need. He gave up all of heaven to give to you and me.
He gave his back As the last shoe whip came down, he gave his brow to the thorns and made his crown. He gave his hands to the one that drove him. And on that rugged tree, he gave his life to me. He gave peace to the fearful in a storm one night. He gave rest to the weary, called them.
Thanks, Sam. Well, this morning we're talking about choices. You know, every day you have an opportunity to choose, don't you? Different things. You can choose to get out of bed, or you can choose to lie there, can't you? You can choose to eat breakfast, or you can choose to skip it. You can choose to be in a good mood or to be grumpy. You can choose to come to church or do something else. Some people choose to listen to the sermon while others are daydreaming or falling asleep. Right? As I hear snoring. But the Bible's filled with people who made choices, right? A lot of choices in the Bible, a lot of different choices that we have. Well, think about Lucifer. He was thought to be God's most beautiful angel, and he had a choice, didn't he? Remain where he was, worship the Lord, or try to gain power. He chose the latter, didn't he? He tried to gain power. Look in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So think if you were Lucifer, went from heaven to hell. Because your ambition was to be like God, to be God, to overthrow him. Well, what happens when we try to be like God? We fail miserably, don't we? We fail, we wonder why. Well, because you're not God, that's why. The Bible tells us to follow him, trust him. When we choose to do otherwise, we usually end up in trouble or pain. Because God knows the best plan, doesn't he? He knows what we're supposed to do, what we should be doing, how we're designed.
But we sometimes think we know better. Just like when you're a kid, you know your parents tell you don't do that. And you think you know better, right? Don't eat those 5 ice cream bars. But I want them. Well, you shouldn't have them. Then you're sick later on because they knew better. You thought you knew better, but there's a consequence. What about Adam and Eve? They were in the garden. It was immaculate. All they had to do was care for it. Life was easy, happy-go-lucky. All they had to do was one thing, right? Stay away from the tree. Just don't touch the tree. Everything else is you can do, but stay away from this tree. And Satan comes along and tells them that they'll be like God if they just eat from this tree. Well, wasn't that his downfall? Wanting to be like God? Now he's telling them, you know, if you eat from this tree, you're going to be like God. Well, they knew what God said, but they made a choice not to listen, and they ate. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We know what we should and shouldn't do, and we decide to do something else. Well, that may have happened last time, but it's not going to happen this time, right? And then they realized that they were naked. Their fellowship with God was broken. They were destined to have work and pain and childbirth, and then they were cast out of the garden. So the most beautiful place they could have been, then they're cast out. They had to leave, all because they chose to do something God told them not to do. How many times do we know what's right? We do wrong, and then we try to justify what we did. Well, I only did it one time. Well, I really didn't do that much. It's not really that bad. It was only a little lie. I was only going 10 miles over the speed limit. It's only a pen that I took from work or a pad of paper. I only got on that internet site for just a few minutes. I only took a few pills. I only used a few little cuss words. I only had 2 plates of food. All those choices we make can be wrong, and then we're surprised when there's a consequence, right? We think sometimes the things we do wrong are things that are obvious. You know, well, I didn't kill that person. I didn't do that, but there are the things we do. I hate that person. God doesn't want us to hate people, but we do sometimes, right? But nobody knows, so we think it's okay. But God knows whether we think anybody knows or not. He knows. The fact is, we all have opportunities to make choices, and some of those choices make us feel distant from God, and we wonder why. Well, because you're living the way you shouldn't live. If you're in a family relationship and you're not talking nice to your family, and you scream at each other and you yell and you cuss at each other, then you wonder, why aren't we a close family? Well, there's a few things you probably need to change, right? Same with God. Why is my relationship with the Lord not close? Because I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing, or saying things I shouldn't be doing, going places I shouldn't be going. So we're going to look at 2 instances this morning where people had to make choices. First one's in Deuteronomy. So Moses talks to the people of Israel about their choices in Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy was written around 1406 BC at the end of the 40 years of wandering endured by the nation of Israel. And at that time, the people were camped on the east side of the Jordan on the plains of Moab across from the city of Jericho. They were on the verge of entering the promised land that had been told to them centuries before. The children who had left Egypt were now adults, ready to conquer and settle the land. Before it could happen, Moses wanted to tell them a few things. He wanted to reiterate what the covenant was. So starting in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, he says, "Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." So what he's saying is, this isn't hard to understand. Right? This is pretty clear. I'm going to tell you some things. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and to proclaim it to us so we may obey it? He said, it's not so far above you that the Lord needs to show you what it is so you can obey. He's setting this up, what he's going to say to him. Nor is it beyond the sea, so you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we can obey? So he says, you don't need to travel far to understand what I'm saying. Some people think they need to journey places to get their answers, don't they? I've got to go here on this mountain and meet this monk, and he's going to tell me my answers, right? When he's saying the answers are right here, you don't have to go anywhere to find the answer. No, the word's very near you. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart, so you may obey it. He says, you hear it, you know what the word says, so you can obey it. So sometimes people claim, well, I didn't know. Right? You ever get pulled over by a policeman? You're going like 75 and the speed limit is 65. And you're like, I didn't know, officer. We were in, I think we were going into Serbia one time, and we were crossing the border, and we crossed the border and got through to the other country we were getting ready to enter, and the guy says, "Where's your vignette?" And I'm like, "What? Where's your vignette?" I'm like, "I don't even know what you're talking about." It's a pass you had to buy when you crossed the border. There was a sign that had like trees and stuff in front of it. We discovered later on. And so we claimed we didn't know, which we didn't know. And then he tried charging us. He said, "Well, that's going to cost you, what was it, 100 euro? 100 euro, whatever it was." And I said, "Fine." I said, "But I want to know what your name is." And he's like, "What?" And I gave him my American passport. And he looks at it and he goes, "Just a minute." Walks back. "You need to go there and buy one. Hand me back my passport." Yeah, he wanted us to bribe him. But we didn't, you know, sometimes you claim you don't know things, which you don't, and other times you claim you don't know things and you really do. So in that case, he knew we didn't know what a vignette was, so we had to buy this little pass thing to go across for so many days, and that helped us not to get ripped off. So what that has to do with this, it means he knew what he knew, and he was trying to give us another story. He was trying to just rip us off because he knew that we didn't have the right things, and we didn't know that. Then he says in verse 15, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." You see, there's two opposites there, life and prosperity, and death and destruction. He says, here's your two choices, basically. "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess." So he's telling them, if you do these things, God's going to bless you. He said, here's your choice, honor and obey God or turn away. But you do have a choice. If you turn away from the Lord, this is what's going to happen. So sometimes you tell your kids or family or your boss tells you, you know, you need to do this or this is going to happen. The problem is, I see today anyway, a lot in our schools, so they used to teach, there's no consequence. This is what's going to happen. You go to the principal's office, you sit there for a period, and then you go back to class. So there's no consequence happening. But in this case, he says there's a consequence, and God's going to give you a consequence. If you turn your hearts away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. That seems pretty clear, doesn't it? If you don't do this, you're going to be destroyed. You're not going to live very long. You're going to have a short life. And I'm telling you, heaven and earth is a witness to what I just said. It says, now choose life so that you and your children may live. So their decision is not just affecting them. It's going to affect their generations that come. So people choose life so you can live well. How many people today make choices that not only affect them, but their families and generations to come? How about alcoholism? You know, the thought was always said, if your parents are alcoholics, well, you're destined to be one. You know what? You have a choice. You don't have to be. You don't have to be that. Verbal or physical abuse. Drugs, pornography, atheism, crime, gluttony, gossip, and things like that. Just because your parents did that or you grew up in a house like that doesn't mean you have to follow that path. You have a choice to say no. I'm not going to do that. I don't care what my family did. I'm not going to do what they did. I'm not going to do what my dad did, my mom did, my brother, sister did. I'm going to do what I am supposed to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Well, parents don't think sometimes when they're watching pornography on their TV, their little child is next to them. What is that putting into their mind? That's their responsibility in raising their kids, is what they're putting in their mind. If they're screaming and yelling at each other, what's that doing to their kids? They're thinking, well, that's normal. My parents always did that. Well, that's not normal. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Right? Just because your parents did it doesn't mean you have to. You can change that cycle. And verse 20 is going to tell them what happens if they choose the Lord. It said, you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord's your life, and he'll give you many years in the land that he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if you listen to God's voice, no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way, hold on to your faith, hold on to the Lord, because he's your life. He'll give you many years in the promised land. So for us, we don't know how many years is, do we? We just know if we're doing what God wants us to do, we'll have as many years as we're supposed to have. But we can do things to shorten those years, can't we? We can do all kinds of dumb things to make those years shorter than what God planned for us because of our choices. So he told them they had choice and they had to choose. Later we see Joshua. He does something similar to what Moses did. He says, after they'd been in the promised land for a while near the end of Joshua's life, we see Joshua talking to the people about making choices. So Joshua chapter 24, verse 1, it says that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and their heads and for the judges and for the officers. And they presented themselves before God. Why did he call these people? Because they were the leaders. He wanted all the leaders to know what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to go on, so you need to know this. If you look at Shechem, where they assembled, it was a place of promise. It's first mentioned in Genesis chapter 12. It was a location where Abraham stopped at the tree of Moreh, received God's promise of the land. Shechem became part of the promised land of Israel, was given to the Korathites, and served as Levitical city of refuge. And Shechem was a place where Joseph, where his remains were buried. So it was a place of commitment. In the area of Shechem, the Israelites were reminded of God's covenantal relationship with them that he made to Abraham, and now he's being reminded again by Joshua. So Joshua gives them three choices. Serve the Lord, serve the false gods of your forefathers that served from the Euphrates River in Egypt, or serve the false gods that are popular in the land that we're living in now. So he finishes speaking on the Lord's behalf in verse 13 and begins to make his last earthly appeal to the people. So he knows he's going to die pretty soon. And he says, look at these things. These are the choices that you have that I want you to make. He says, now therefore, the Lord, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt and serve the Lord. So there probably weren't all kinds of idols built up and things being built, but inwardly, people were serving other gods. Their desire wasn't genuine. So that's the thing about us. We can be doing all kinds of things that nobody knows about, right? You come to church on Sunday morning, everything looks fine, but who knows what you're doing during the week except you and God. So it's the inward that needs to make a difference. The choices we make need to make a difference in our inward self. We need to make sure that we have a genuine desire and commitment to worship God because we're his children. We might get away with disobedience for a while, but God never approves of it. You can only do things wrong so many times before it catches up with you, right? Eventually, something's going to happen. You're going to overdose if you're taking drugs, right? You're going to may die from drinking too much alcohol. You may get hit by a car, right? If you're doing the thing you shouldn't be doing, speeding around, like you see people speeding around with no indicators, just whipping out of traffic, and you think that person's not going to be alive very long. So we make choices that eventually may catch up with us. Treat people wrong all the time. Cheat them when you're doing a business, right? Cheat on your taxes. Speed all the time. That's going to catch up. Using foul language all the time. You need to always look at who am I around? What am I going to say? Who's listening? But if you're not doing those things, you don't need to worry about what's happening. But here's what Joshua says. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Interesting thing is he's not swayed by the opinions of anybody else. He's like, you guys all do whatever you're going to do, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So that's his choice, isn't it? Human nature hasn't changed much since that time. People still choose to worship false gods. And what are those false gods today? Some of those are TikTok, right? Facebook. All those other different, I don't know what all the sites are. I don't keep up on all the sites because I don't use half of those things. But a lot of things that they're keeping up with, you know, go on sometimes and watch some of the videos about doing makeup, and you're supposed to look like this, and you're supposed to do this, and all those can become gods because people like, I'm supposed to be that, I'm supposed to look like this, supposed to weigh this much, supposed to be this tall, supposed to have these kind of clothes. That's a lot of pressure. You worship all those things, they never last, right? But having good values, being a nice person, worshiping God, doing what you're supposed to do, those things last. Treating people the way you're supposed to treat them. Ecclesiastes 1:19 says, nothing is new under the sun. Every generation has had problems and issues. It just seems this generation, they seem to be more public because they have all this social media stuff. Bullying in school was, you know, the jerk that was calling you names at lunch. Now it's five people on Facebook posting things about you or Twitter or whatever you're on, right? Fights happen all the time because of things that are spread that aren't even maybe true. Rumors can happen. Kids are killing themselves because somebody said something about them that wasn't true and they didn't know how to deal with it. So they're making different kind of choices, and the effects, I think, are greater. Society seems to be more intellectual and more developed, but faithfulness and goodness seems to be fading away. Right? It used to be a good thing to be a good person and try to do the right thing, and now it's like, well, what are you doing that for? We don't do that. We don't treat old people like that. They're just old. We should get rid of them. That's what some people think. Get to be a certain age, they need to cease to exist. They're just taking up time and space. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? But every person is still faced with the option of choosing God or choosing other gods. Do we choose power? Do we choose wealth, popularity? What's our other God that we're serving? So choosing Christ is more than claiming to be a Christian, hearing a sermon, or singing songs, or feeling good about heaven. It's choosing to live, to be no longer bound by sin. Choosing no longer to do things that I know I shouldn't be doing. It's intentional. It's purposeful. It's a true commitment that doesn't happen by accident or coincidence. We make that choice to do it. Sometimes you may not feel like it. Truthfully, like, I don't feel like being nice to that person because they're a jerk. But I'm going to be nice to them because that's what God would do. I don't feel like saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I know it's the right thing. But it's a daily commitment. Well, Joshua's prayer was answered after he died. I think sometimes we think if prayers aren't answered while we're here, then we shouldn't pray them. But we need to pray them no matter what. How many grandparents are out there that prayed for their kids and kids and kids, and finally they changed? Maybe they didn't see it, but it happened because grandma was there praying, or grandpa, whoever it was. It says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So they finally lived for him. We need to study and obey his word and recognize what practices and thoughts and teachings are wrong. Especially look in the entertainment section of society. A lot of depiction of life that's not true. I like watching this show. I don't really watch it too much anymore. Chicago Fire. Because my son's a fireman. This is kind of a cool show. And then the problem was that person was sleeping with that person. And then they were sleeping with that person. Then they slept with that person. Then they were sleeping. And I'm like, this is stupid. I just want to see the fireman stuff. You know? I don't want to see her and him and them. And so I finally just started turning it off. And I said, it's just dumb. It ruined the whole show. Why does it have to be in there? That's not what normal society should be. You don't want people sleeping with everybody around. Right? You want to be committed to one person, one spouse. One man, one woman. Right? Not them, they, thee. I'm not going to go down that path. But if you choose Christ, you're hoping your home is going to be infiltrated and influenced by the Holy Spirit. That's how you're making your choices. You're asking God, what should we do? How should we handle this? And then you make the choices based on that, not according to what your neighbor said you should do or what society thinks you should do, which is right. But you make wise decisions, and you see that God blesses. So when we choose God in his ways, the outcome is for our best because we know that God wants the best for us. You can't walk away from God and expect God to follow you. Right? God's there for you to go to him whenever you're ready. Well, last week we talked about revival. We had a time where people could come forward and make a choice to surrender to the Lord. Some stayed in their seats and did the same thing. We asked for the Lord to revive us, to forgive us, to give us a fresh touch. It was a beautiful scene. We had people sitting here talking to God. Question we have is, what have you determined to do different? We have those meetings sometimes, you come forward, and then at the end, you're like, well, nothing changed. What is your choice going to be? What are you going to do different that you haven't done before? You came and asked God for something. God, help me, give me a fresh touch, but what's going to be different about your life? And you know what that is. He knows what that is. And if you haven't done anything different, then don't expect a different result. Don't come and say, God, give me this, and then you do nothing. Right? Say, God, I'm coming forward. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to be different? What do you want me to do as far as a commitment to others? Moses wanted something more for his people. Joshua wanted something more. And God wants something more for you. He doesn't want complacency, the same old, same old. He wants you to be growing constantly in your faith and in your witness for him. He wants a deep commitment to him and his will. He wants you not only to desire him, but to long for him, to give up ungodly practices and live a holy life, but not on your own, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because we know we can't do it ourselves. You say, God, I need the Holy Spirit to make me different, to change me, to help me. And if I need to have somebody come alongside and kind of push me a little bit, then bring that person alongside. I married the person that does that for me. She's not afraid to say, well, you shouldn't be doing that, or this is something you need to think about, or whatever. And for a minute, I like go like, oh. Then I come back and I say, yeah, you're right. But we all need that. We all need to be pushed. Otherwise, you just sit back and get fat. Right? What good do fat sheep do? Nothing besides make a good meal. Right? God, as sheep, wants us to be around with others. Let him know what it's like to be a Christian. What's it like to be a child of God? And not just to talk about it, but to show it with your life. So Joshua told the Israelites, choose who you'll serve. And we have the choices. What is our choice today? Is revival a one-day thing? No, I think it's a journey. Revival starts the journey, and then we continue on with that journey. Then every so often, you need to be kind of propped up again. Hey, guys, what are we doing? What are we here for? Every football team, since I know it's a football congregation here, what happens at halftime? You're getting your hind end beat, boys. This is what we need to do to get back on the track. And God says that to us sometimes. Didn't say your hind end beat, but he says, you've kind of fallen off a little bit. You're kind of slacking off. You need to get back on track where you're supposed to be because you're not done with this game yet. You're not done with life. The end is out here. This is how you're going to get to the end. Keep going. Encourage each other. Push each other. Train. Work hard. Right? Read the word. Do what it says. Joshua chose to follow the Lord. The question is, what do you choose? Only you can make that choice. You can't make it for anybody else. Can't make it for your spouse. Can't make it for your kids. Can't make it for your neighbors. You just make it for you and be the best you that God wants you to be. And others are going to see that there's something different about you. And maybe say, well, how come you didn't react that way when this happened? Because I don't think God wanted me to. That didn't help. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, help us to make the right choices. Help us, Lord, when we're making wrong choices, to know that we're making the wrong choices and do something different. And bring somebody along, the Holy Spirit, maybe another person, to let us know, Lord, that things we're doing may not be correct, that we need to get in the right path and do what you want us to do. We thank you in your name. Amen. And don't forget, my wife said bowling meeting. I know it's a great ending, but she wants me to tell you.
Right down my alley. Let's stand this morning, shall we? Make us one. Make us one. Make us one. Serve this week.